All right, so we thought we'd talk a little bit. We were all out in the street today witnessing, doing some street ministry, evangelism, preaching. What do you brothers want to share about how your day went today? Anybody got any testimonies?
Brother, cool. Why don't you start?
Okay. Yeah, I was out in the La Crosse downtown today and standing on a street corner. I was preaching the gospel. The sound was bouncing off the building, so it carried pretty far. And a lot of people got the truth. A lot of cars driving past that area, so that was good. Talked to a lot of young people today, and a lot of professing Christians. I think everyone I talked to today was a professing Christian. They came up, they were like, "Hey, how's it going, brother?" Or something similar of that kind of response. And I had to question them. I had to test them to the biblical gospel. And the first young man I talked to, he was a non-denominational young man, and he was very into theology and the puffing up with knowledge and stuff. I got that kind of vibe from him. And so I poured out to him the biblical gospel. I asked him what it was, and he didn't really have a great response to it. He first said, "Oh yeah, accept Jesus in your heart." And I'm like, "That's not the whole gospel." And he's like, "Well, yeah. And then you have to repent and whatnot." So, talked with him for a little while. He started going on and on about translations and stuff because he's very intellectual, very theologian based. And I'm like, I would say dig around on the website. My brother has a ton of resources for that stuff. And I'm just here to preach the gospel, so I'm going to go back to preaching the gospel. So I had to cut that one short. But and then I met a young black man who was wearing a crucifix, and he was very receptive to the gospel, and he listened very well to it. I went over the gospel with him, and I told him, "You have to come out of the world. You have to drop everything." And he was like, "Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, I can see that." And he was very, very receptive to it. I saw the Holy Spirit work on him a little bit. So hopefully there's a seed there that'll spring up, Lord willing. But the next man I talked to was another non-denominational man, and he was a little bit more adamant about his false ways. I questioned him about Christmas and Easter and Good Friday, and I told him, "Why are we practicing things that God hasn't ordained? Why did God make these days holy?" And he agreed with me. He's like, no, what you're saying is right. No, that God didn't make those things holy." But he was, at the end of it, he talked a lot about patience. You have to have patience with people. You can't be, basically, it's that whole argument, preaching at people, almost. Yeah. And I was like, sir, was Jesus patient with the Pharisees, or was John the Baptist patient with the Pharisees? And he's like, "Well, those were the Pharisees, you know. You got to be patient when talking to people of the world." And I'm like, oh man. So that was a whole thing. He kind of was defending the whole relationship preaching kind of a thing. You have to get to know someone before you preach it. And then the last group of people I ran into was a couple. And, or actually not the last one, I have one more, but I ran into a Christian couple, and very feminized, I found out as I was talking to him. The woman was doing a lot of the talking. Luckily her head was covered, but she was showing off every other part of her body, so I don't think it really matters in that case. And she got onto this whole kick about, I went through the gospel with him. She got onto this whole kick about natural healing, and she started twisting the word of God. She brought up a verse talking about Jesus, like, I came not to, or they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And she tried to twist that into some sort of natural healing. Like, you have to be into natural healing. That's part of the gift of the Spirit.
Oh, wow.
I think I remember that kind of ideology in Once Saved, Always Saved, where I think the false teacher I was listening to at the time, he was really pushing natural healing because he's like, oh, the gift of healing means natural healing in today's society, today's world. So, yeah, she started going on and on about that. And I just kind of had to cut that conversation short. I'm like, test it on the website. My brother has resources for all this stuff. I got to cut this stuff short. Yeah. And she was just going on and on. It was feminine. And her husband was trying to butt in every once in a while, but she just kept going and going. And I'm like, I got to cut this thing short. And then finally I talked to a college man, and he was a Christian, professing Christian college man. He had earrings with crosses on them, and he was receptive to it. He let me preach the gospel to him. I told him he has to come out of the world. He has to drop the world. And he told me, well, I was thinking about doing that after college. I was thinking of really getting into the word and the Lord after college. And it was like an excuse. And I said, the Lord's giving you light right now. What are you going to do with the light you have right now?
Today's the day of salvation.
Exactly. So I had some good conversations with people today. A lot of people got gospel cards, and I think it was a really fruitful day, but that was kind of my day out there.
Good job, brother. Way to go out and stand for the Lord's truth. That's awesome. You're empowered to do it because you're obeying this by the Spirit, and God's loosing your lips, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, once you fully yield to what the Lord wants you to do, you're not worried about what man thinks of you. The Spirit just loosens you up, and you start flowing a lot more freely. You can get the gospel out to people. You don't care about what they think. You can cut conversations short when they're not on the right path, and the whole nine yards, I guess.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad you're learning that. So you're out there for God's glory, number one. You're out there to preach the gospel and warn your neighbors to come out of the church systems in the world. And then after that, you're looking for the seeker that comes up and says, what are you about? And they actually listen to the word of God, the gospel and truth, and they sit and they listen and they take it in. That's who you're seeking. If you get people to come up and they want to argue and they want to defend man-made religion and they don't even want to listen to the gospel and they just want to defend sin, those are people we're not there for. You could tell them, I didn't come here for you. You don't have ears to hear. Go read John 8 and see who Jesus said your father probably is. Yeah, let me go read it. It's Satan. And you're wise to cut those off and keep preaching and looking for people that will go, well, why are you here? Then you preach to them. They listen, and you can almost see the Holy Spirit, like they're taking it in. You can almost see the Holy Spirit like convict them, and they go, well, I got to think about that. And those are the people we're looking for. Amen.
Yep, amen.
Yeah, you don't want to cast your pearls, amen. Brother Zelos, how about you?
Oh, I had a very eventful day as well. We went for a long like shopping / marketplace witnessing thing where I didn't get audios of a couple of them, but I was able to witness to this homeless guy in a wheelchair.
I saw a picture. I saw a picture of that.
Yeah, it was sitting there. It was very nice. His name was John. So I explained faith to him. I just talked to him. He says he's been through some hard stuff, so he's kind of losing faith. But I kind of preached him the biblical gospel and told him Jesus and told him, give him a card and give him the offer like I always do to homeless guys. If you really want to help off the streets, if you want to follow Jesus, reach out. We'll help you. And then in the store, I was able to witness to actually two Hindus and a Sikh today.
Oh, wow.
This is kind of the contrast. So I don't know what it was today. Today the Sikhs and the Hindus generally don't really listen, but today they did. And I really challenged them. Like, we witnessed to that one a while ago, and I've started incorporating that in. Go over the gospel, go over who Jesus was, and then challenge them to find out who Jesus actually was. Seek Jesus and find out, was he Lord, liar, or lunatic? Who is he? And if he's Lord and you believe he can't lie, and they said, no, he's a great man of God, he didn't lie. He said he's the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way. There cannot be many thousands of ways. There's only one truth. And kind of hammered on that with him and who Jesus is.
Amen.
And then here's the contrast. So you got a homeless guy begging for money. He's in rough shape. You got two Hindus. You got a Sikh. And then I run into Hutterite. You talk about the hot ride. What's the gospel? Oh my, live a good life. Really, that's it. Well, sure, there's more to it. I don't have time. I'm here to sell vegetables, not dispute about religion. Goodbye. So there's like such a difference. You got a Hindu and a Sikh in like paganism, worshiping multiple gods, and an acclaimed Christian. I mean, what a difference.
Yeah.
How does they receive the word of God? It's just such a contrast. And afterwards, my brothers provoked me to zeal, so I went out in the street a bit with a sign, had gospel signs, and it was interesting. So the minute I show up there, there's this table set up with a bunch of these churches, all ecumenical together. They're not the same church. I don't even think they're in the same denomination, some of them. They're like non-denoms to evangelical to, I don't know what else was. This one guy didn't give me his church. They're handing out pamphlets with a false gospel. Like, I walked up to him. Hey, you guys are here. What's the gospel you preach, people? Well, you know, we're all sinners. Jesus did it all. We got to do. Jesus did it all for us so we'd believe in him. Is that it? Well, now you're adding to it. You can't add works. All our works are just filthy rags before the Lord. No. That's not what the Bible says.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was their gospel. Totally false. So then he didn't even let me go over the gospel. He's just like, I asked him, is that all? Oh, now it's worked. Hey, we're here. You're not with us. You go away from here. And I'm like, really? You didn't even, I'm here to lift up the biblical gospel and Christ crucified, and you're asking me to go away. Is that what Christ would have us do if we're supposedly brothers in the faith? And he was kind of stuttering and stammering. I just stood there and I loudly called him out and rebuked him for lifting up a false accursed gospel, for deceiving people, for holding man-made ways, for their false Jesus, their false gospel, and their false spirit. And I just walked down and I stood there. And one of them walked up to me and apparently he saw me at that Sean Foyt event I was at last week. And he tried contending a bit, but I thought of that verse where Paul says, We gave not space to them by subjection, no, not for an hour, or not for a moment or something. I literally didn't give them any room because they were just like, I'm works based. Oh, you're not loving. I agree with I can't disagree with what you're saying, but I don't see the fruit. I don't like how you deal with people. And I took him, do you have a Bible? And he said, no, why don't you read it? And I said, well, I'd like you to read it because when I read it, people tend to ignore it. But if you read it, maybe it'll go deeper. And so, no, you read it. So I go to Galatians 5. And I read what Paul tells the false teachers to do, who are deceiving people. And I'm like, does that sound like loving to you? That's how we deal with heretics and false teachers who have an accursed false gospel. And then he's just stammering. I just turned my back on him. And then it was actually pretty fruitful. A lot of gospel cards went out. A lot of good seekers, witnessing experiences. Like these two young men just stood there and soaked it up until I just poured a bunch of truth into them. And there was a couple mockers, and then it kind of ended up with this guy. He walks past me, and I just offered him a gospel. He comes up to me, and he's like, you shouldn't do that. That's pollution and a waste of paper.
Pollution. That's funny.
Yeah, that's literally, that's polluting. You're wasting paper. I'm a Christian, too. And I'm like, sir, no Christian will talk about God's truth like that. And he literally turns around and swung a haymaker right at my face. I kind of like, whoa, and I kind of ducked back and down, so he missed me. He's got a cup of coffee in his other hand. He takes the lid off and just throws the coffee all over my feet. He walks off a couple of paces, turns around and flings his cup at me, and then storms off. I'm like, I never said anything. So it was completely like out of the blue, unprovoked. But some guys saw it and they came up. What just happened? I'm like, oh, nothing. People hate God's truth. Jesus said it would be that way. Do you know which kingdom you're in? I offered the gospel and they took it and walked off. So it was generally a fruitful day.
That's awesome. You were persecuted for the faith and you rejoiced. That's awesome, brothers.
Yeah. So how was your day?
Yeah, we had a good day. We drove to get to the city to go to a big street fair. And we didn't know how many people was going to be there. It was jam-packed. I mean, we couldn't even walk in many places. And we were there for many hours. And I preached all over, and Sister Raman stood on the corner. We kind of have a system going now. It works pretty good for us. I will walk through and street preach, and she either follows about 50 or 100 feet behind me or 50 or 100 feet ahead of me. But I think the behind works better, and here's why. I'm street preaching and lifting up my voice, and people look at me and they kind of either give me the stink eye or whatever. And some people will look and I think they're almost about ready to stop and talk or take a gospel card. And I look and they turn around and I go by and I turn around, they're reading the back of my sign. And all of a sudden in a second wave comes Sister Amen. And it's like they had time to process what they just saw. Preacher of righteousness, warning about sin and the world and Jesus. And here comes Sister Amen and she gets to talk and hand out gospel cards to a lot of people is like a second wave. So it's pretty awesome. I remember one in particular, there was a man walking by and he looked like he was ready to stop and take a card from me and talk to me. And then as I was walking, I kind of looked at him and I held a card up and he kind of just looked at me and then he just kind of shot by and I turned around and look, sure enough, he stopped and talked to Sister Amen and took a gospel card. She told him to read the gospel on there and to come back and talk to me. He didn't come back and talk, but that was awesome. So we kind of have that process that we do. But we walked up and down this festival many, many times. 150 street vendors. The police were there. We had no police contact today. That was awesome. None of the street workers or the festival workers told us we had to leave. That was rare. That was awesome. We had the usual mockers and Satanist people. And another thing that was really rare, there was an LGBTQ booth there. And many times I walked by and just preached the gospel. I didn't stop. I didn't give them much attention like I did none of the other booths. And they didn't come out and mock. They didn't come out and hassle us. So that's kind of odd. A lot of times they'll come out and chase you around and try to make a scene and tell you you hate homosexuals, which we don't. And so they didn't. I ran into the Gideons. You brothers know what the Gideons are?
Yes.
There's a Gideon booth there and they're handing out Bibles. So you'll see it when I put this preach up, got a video of it two times, three older men and a woman. And I just stood there and preached and I said, here's the Gideons. I said, they're giving you a false hope. They hand out the word of God, which I love the word of God, but people don't need the word of God handed out. They need the word of God preached. They need the gospel preached. They need to be called out of the world. They need Christ crucified, lifted up and warn them about the wrath that's coming. And they just sit there and go, well, it's all in the Bible. And I said, did Jesus tell us to hand the word out or to preach the gospel? Well, to preach the gospel. And the lady came over and she opened her little Bible. She goes, look, it's right here. You can read it, she said. I said, that's not going to lead people to eternal life because everybody's got five Bibles in the average American home and everybody's got the Bible on their phone. They're going to Sunday churches that are twisting the word of God. We need to preach the word of God. We need to rightly divide it. We need to warn people. We need to call them out of the world. So two times after they changed crews at the Gideons, I got to go back and preach to them. So that was awesome. They didn't know the gospel. The man came up to me. Well, believe in Jesus. And I said, that's not the gospel alone. I said, the good news is he died, but how do we apply it to our life? They didn't know. And so tons of good witnessing. Had some really, I'd say, five or six good witnessing with seekers. And I had probably 5 or 10 good practices of people walk up, they start talking, and I say, you're a serious seeker of truth? I could tell they weren't. I ask them, this is a good thing to do, brothers. Can I preach the gospel to you? Will you listen to it? Nah, I'm not really interested. I guess I didn't come for you. Would you like a gospel card to go read it later? No, I don't want it. I'm going to go on my way. And I walk away. So it's good to qualify who's going to listen. If they won't listen to the gospel, if they're not a seeker, don't go on with them. Sister Amen's been promising, practicing that too, more and more, to not, you know, we'll try to reason with somebody into the kingdom, but we're not going to argue, debate, let it get heated, let them trample God's word. We're going to end that. And I'm thinking of one particular young man. I'm walking and I feel someone behind me, like I sense a presence behind me. And it's this big, tall young man. He must have been, I don't know, 6'2", 6'3", big, tall guy. And he's got a Bible in his hand. And I think he was like holding up the Bible. And I don't know if he was mocking me or what. And I turned around and I said, can I help you, young man? And he goes, I'm with you. And I said, excuse me? He goes, I'm with you. Got my Bible right here. He had a Gideon Bible. So I'm thinking, okay, he's a mocker. I said, can I share the gospel with you, how to find eternal life? Do you know it? He goes, well, yeah, you just believe in God, right? And I said, no, it's not just believe in God. Even the demons do that. I said, let's step over here. So we stepped off the side of the street and I started talking to him. His buddy shows up And these two young men, I said, can I preach the gospel to you? They're like, yeah. And they stood, they listened, they were sponges. They didn't argue. They actually added to it. They said, yeah, you got to do stuff when you're a Christian, right? I said, yeah, you got to obey. They're like, yeah, you probably should come out of the world too, right? I'm like, yeah, you got to come out of the world. The world is set for the destruction and it's Satan's kingdom. What turned out to be like a potential mocker, he listened. His buddy listened. They each took gospel cards. They said they'd go to the website. They said, hey, we might email you. This is interesting. They said, we'd like to seek God, but we don't know how. Neither of them go to a church. I said, well, we're here for you. So that was pretty awesome to see some young men like that soak up the word of God. That happened with a couple of people. One young man, real quick, was listening to Sister Amen talk to him and gave him a gospel card. I walked up and he turned different with me and he started getting like all kind of funny and laughing. I don't know what that was about. He was like sober with her. When I came over, he got funny and laughing and he made a joke. And I said, well, you know, the church systems are wrong. And I explained the gospel and feminization and pagan holidays. And I said, look, they have no standard. I said, the women and the men there dress in harlotry and act and live worldly. And he made this joke and he laughed. He said, well, I don't mind looking at women's bodies when I'm at church. And he laughed. And I looked at him and I said, what'd you just say? He's claiming to be a Christian, by the way. He goes, well, I just use a little humor. I said, humor? And he started getting all giggly and laughy. And I said, we're not supposed to be humorous, sir. He goes, you mean Jesus never laughed and made jokes? I said, where in scripture did he make jokes? Well, I'm sure he did it sometime. The whole conversation changed. And he says, oh, so you're telling me I can never laugh? I said, I didn't tell you you can't laugh. I said, you can't be non-sober minded, and you laughed about sin. Does your church promote sin? They must, because you're looking at women's bodies there. You're the product of your church. And he got all upset and mad with me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go. I said, you're not serious about the things of God. So whenever we witness, always remember we're giving the word of God. It's like a great gift, isn't it, brothers?
Amen.
Remember when to remove it from them. And say, I'm not going to give it to you anymore, and turn and walk away. It's a really good discipline to have. It's going to save you a lot of wrangling. It's going to save you a lot of pearl casting. Now, there may be times when the Spirit might rise up and say more to this person because you're going to try to pull them from the fire. I get it. I try to pull people from the fire. I'll try to dispute with them over Christmas or the world or all kinds of sin to try to pull them from the fire. But oftentimes and not, it's not wise to go too far. And so remove the word from them and walk away from them. And it's a good thing to learn. I had one last thing. I preached across the street from this motorcycle t-shirt place. And this big biker man comes over, big man. And he's all dressed and all covered in tats, dressed like a biker. And he goes, you know what? He goes, you're wasting your time. And I said, why? I said, can I give you a gospel card? He goes, no, I don't want it. And I was about ready to turn away from him. He goes, I don't like that children are going to be in hell. No God would have children in hell. And I said, who told you children's going to be in hell? He goes, well, and then he started him-hawing. I said, let me preach the gospel to you. Will you stand and hear the gospel? His whole demeanor changed. So you got to be spirit-led. I didn't walk away from him right away. His whole demeanor changed. He listened to the gospel. I told him what a glorious thing Christ did for him. He goes, well, I know I'm going to hell after the gospel. I said, you don't have to. You can repent. I want you to. But if you do decide to go to hell, God will let you. You have free will. And his whole demeanor changed. And when I turned away from him, he was just standing there looking at me. And he got the gospel and it got poured into his life. And he stood and he heard it. So sometimes people won't stand and hear it. But guess what? Sometimes people will stand and hear it. They don't even know why they're doing it. Have you ever seen that?
I think so.
Yeah. So be led by the Spirit. And a lot of times the Spirit will shut their mouth and let you pour forth truth that they need to hear. It may be for their future salvation, may be for their condemnation. But it was really awesome. We had a great day, probably there was thousands of people there, probably 10,000 people there. There was thousands. I would say for an event that big, it's probably the most peaceful event we've ever done. We had a few mockers. Nobody spit on us. Nobody threw things at us. One guy got in my face and screamed at me. That was it. But for that many people, it was probably the most peaceful preach, I think, Sister Amma and I agreed, that we've ever had. So I don't know if the Lord just blessed us today. And we had some good, good seekers. And it was an awesome day. We were just thankful to be there and to shine the light. And so many people got to hear the truth. A lot of people standing and watching from the outskirts. I love that, because you never know what they're going to do. Taking pictures with their phones, going to the website. It's an awesome thing. It was a good day.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Yeah, we'll have the preach up. I got a bunch of videos. I got a bunch of audios, and we'll put the preach up probably either tomorrow or the next day. It'll go up tomorrow. So this, you're always scouting, right? You're always scouting. So we had a church event we want to go to tomorrow on Sunday, and we're still going to do it. It's a church picnic. I don't know how big it's going to be. It's in a park, but there's not much else going on Sunday here, so we might go do it. But today when we're preaching, I think I found a good venue to go to. They have a church right downtown. It meets in an old movie theater. Guess what that means? Perfect sidewalk access right in front of the church. A lot of churches you can't get to because they're way in private property. They're way back off the road. We got a sidewalk right in front of this worldly church, and I think tomorrow we're going to go and stand there first, preach the gospel, and then we're going to head over to that park and see what's going on over there. So that'll be our day tomorrow. We'll see how that goes there.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's awesome seeing God's truth being proclaimed so, like, all over the place.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Workers of God just going out, shining their light, and God's going to do with it what he sees fit. He's going to convict, he's going to draw, or he's going to turn away. And I love it. When we go out, we always see the power of God, because it rises us up to go do it in the spirit. And then I see the power of God with people, because how we carry ourselves oftentimes will shut people up. One lady was screaming and yelling at us that we're a waste of time and we're workers of Satan, because we're driving people away from Jesus. By preaching the truth, we're driving people away from Jesus. Worldly, worldly looking woman claiming to be a Christian. She was lewd. Let me just say that. And it's amazing to me how, if it isn't man-centered, ear-pleasing, and totally easy believism, they think you're driving people away. And that's okay, because they have a false Jesus. But we just go and we just handle them with the word of God. And we just, I sent Sister Amin in front of me. This lady was yelling, and I just kept walking and preaching. She was behind me screaming and yelling at us. It didn't take long. She just turned around and left. She knew she couldn't get to us. She couldn't stop us. She came running by later and yelled at us again, but she just kept going. So it's like you overcome these wicked people to be there for the seekers. It's a glorious thing we get to do.
Yeah, I actually have a scripture on that. I was reading this today. And when people talk about that, I think about what they would say to Jesus. I'm going to read Mark 7. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. In another passage, he told her, great is thy for your faith. He marveled at her faith. It's basically, when people have a heart for the truth, that whole friendship evangelism thing just doesn't hold up to scripture.
No. No, not even close. That's Satan's ploy to change the gospel, water it down, make it man-pleasing, take away its effectivity, take away the call to repentance that come out of the world, and just fill up the church buildings with goats. That's all it does.
Yeah.
That biker guy said to me, he said, you think you're winning anybody like this talking about hell? I said, Jesus warned and described hell more than he described heaven. Jesus, he goes, you're causing people to fear. That's not going to do any good. I said, Jesus said, fear the one who can destroy your body and soul in hell, talking about the Father. He just looked at me. I said, was Jesus wrong? He just put his head down, shaking his head. They can't stand on the word of God, and so they can't stand. There's nowhere to stand. They have no cloak for their sin. Where are they going to go? Unless they're going to beat you up, they just have to leave. That's what I love about it. Unless they're going to kill you and beat you up, they have to leave because they got nothing. It's the power of God's word. It's the Hebrews 4:12 sword, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's awesome. We use these tools with wisdom, be spirit-led, and don't cast our pearls and just go forth and shine light. One of the most heartwarming things to me, I love this. Does this happen to you, brothers? I'm preaching, especially an event like this, and parents are going by. One lady, there's little kids. They're so cute. 5, 6, 8, 10-year-olds. They're staring at the preacher. They're reading the sign. They're looking at me, and I wave at them. And the little children look at me, and they wave at me, and they smile. This one little boy, he must have been 5 years old. He's walking by me with his parents, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I waved at him. And he kind of sheepishly looked at me and waved. And his parents walked by and snickered at me. And as he walked by, I thought, I'm going to turn around. And I turned around and looked, and this little boy stopped walking with his parents, stood in the middle, and he stood there. And he went like this, and he was waving to the street preacher, smiling with this smile as big as you could see. And I thought, wow, that's kind of neat. Come to the kingdom of God like a little child. I see little children respond to me. And Sister Amen, and they, it's almost like they sense that we're from God, and little children's hearts are still bent towards the kingdom of God. Maybe they're not totally turned yet. And that's one great blessing. The other blessing I get when I street preach is I really appreciate when women or men come by, and it's almost like a Nicodemus type of thing. They come to Jesus by night because they're afraid. They don't want to be called out and said, oh, you're with the street preacher. And they walk by and they put their hand on my arm or my back and they go, keep preaching, preacher. God bless you. And they walk away. These are usually the people that try to shove a 20 or something in my pocket sometimes, which I don't want. But sometimes they throw it at us and they run away. We buy McDonald's cards with it to give out to people. But when they do that, which isn't very often. But they're there at the worldly event. They probably go to a wicked church. They're worldly in all their ways, but there's something in them that tells them we're doing the right thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, actually, I'd forgotten about this. Again, like I said, in between those two main events of my day, there was a bunch of like really like awesome stuff happening. So I just remembered this that you just said. So I'm standing there. It's a little bit of a lull in between passing, like the coming waves. And there's probably, I'm going to say, 3, maybe 4-year-old little girl just comes running up to me with a huge smile on her face. Hello. I just looked up. Hello, little girl. Why don't you ask your mommy if she wants a gospel card? I didn't want to give a 4-year-old a gospel card. So she runs back to the door, like they're coming out of this door, this walkway over the street. So she runs back, and probably about like 5 seconds later, along comes her mother with pushing a little stroller. The girl wasn't sitting in it, she was running. And they come up to me, and I offered the lady a gospel card. You know how to find eternal life. Jesus made the way for you, ma'am. Follow him. And she took it and thanked me. And like the second they were past me and walking past, the little girl runs up to her mom and starts grabbing her hand. What is that, mommy? What is that, mommy?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so awesome.
Yeah, it's heartwarming to see. They're so innocent. And yeah, so often that they, I don't know if they sense what we're doing is right or whatever, but I love that how Christ said the kingdom of God is like a small child. You have to come. And I usually, that's what I do. Whenever I see children walk by, then I start preaching about you must come like the kingdom of God. One lady today, I didn't tell Sister Amin this. One lady today was walking by and the little boy was waving at me. And I waved at him, and she looked at me, and she said, don't you dare wave at my child. Just like that. And I just said, ma'am, we love you. I'll wave at anybody I want to. That was kind of my comeback. It was, I love you, but we'll wave at anybody we want to. And yeah, the little boy, he loved it, but the woman, she hated my guts. So it's like the difference between innocence and wickedness. And obviously, if she stays with him and never comes to the Lord, she's going to become just like him. And that's what the world and Satan does, makes them twice the son of hell as converts as they are. But it's awesome. We get a lot of teenagers that hear it, and who knows how their life is impacted by seeing someone in the street standing for righteousness.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a really good day. And this weekend, next weekend coming up, Brother Kuo and I and Sister Amin are headed to the biggest fair in central, all of Wisconsin, I think it is. It's like this little town closes down. They close all the streets down. And literally in the 2 days, I think it's open, they claim in 2 days, 250,000 people come through there. It's huge for this area. And it is like, Brother Kuo, you've never preached at a place like this yet. It is like waves and waves and waves of people. You know how sometimes you preach and you might get like a crowd of 20 and then you wait a big space and there's another 10 and then maybe a couple more space. There might be 5. This is like oceans and oceans and oceans and oceans of people. You almost have to prepare your mind for it because it's like nonstop. It's like, where are all these people coming from? And you just keep pouring out and you just keep seeing. It's almost overwhelming when you think about most all of them are going to end up in hell per Jesus. Few are going to make it. And you look at these multiple thousands. And if you operate in any flesh, it's almost overwhelming. But if you can operate in the spirit, it's pretty awesome to be able to preach to that many people all in one place. You just stand in one place and they all just flood by you. They just flood by you nonstop. It's incredible. It's called Cranfest.
Oh, yeah. Those events, when you got that many people, I don't know how you do it, but I preach and I lift up my voice and I just never stop preaching until like my voice gets completely hoarse. Because it's like you can't stop because every 10 seconds you've got new people.
Yeah. You just pour out and hope that people are here. That's where I actually met Brother Purgos. Well, I didn't meet him there. He saw us there and then followed up with us like 6 months later. But we've had some good witnessing at that event. They always try to run me out and they can't because it's a total street event. And so there's always a little bit of contention there. But once we get the security guards off our back and say, oh, no, we could be here. We have First Amendment rights to be here. Then it usually the way is paved. And then it's just, yeah, it's quite a day there. So I'm looking forward to that. How about you, Brother Kuo?
Yeah, that'll be quite an experience. I'm looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. There are just not too many places unless you go to a big city. Which I don't even know too many big cities that have that many people coming through an event like that so in such waves. It's probably one of the most crowded events you'll do. I mean, we went to Super Bowls and they weren't this crowded. Yeah, the Super Bowl only has 80,000 people at it. And so this one is like way over the top. And it's awesome to be a light and shine God's truth forth in those places. I love what I get to do. Somebody said to me, get a job. I said, this is my job. I retired early to do this. I fund myself. This is my job. I love telling people that. And they're looking at me like, what? This is what you do? Because a lot of street preachers are not regular street preachers. And it might be somebody that goes and does it every once in a while. But when you tell people, no, this is what I do, and I do it on a regular basis, it's just different than people. It's like foreign to them. Oh, well, shouldn't you be doing that in the church buildings? No, actually, preach means go out and be a public crier, lift up your voice. So we get to do it. So you learn a lot, don't you, brothers?
Yeah, I'm just looking up a scripture verse.
What have you learned, Brother Kuo? What would you say is the most important thing you've learned being a street preacher? I know it's a bunch of stuff, but what would you say?
I would say, don't care about what people think of you. Just care about the truth, getting the truth out there.
Nice. Yeah.
If someone comes up to you, they're a mocker, they don't want the truth, shut them down. Keep preaching the truth. You're there to get the truth out. You're not there to please people. Yeah. That's the big thing.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you're there for God first, preaching the gospel next, and then looking for seekers after that. Because when you preach the gospel, God's glorified. And if there's any seekers there, of course they're going to be blessed too. So yeah, we're doing it for God. People say nobody wants you here. What's your response should be?
God wants me here. Amen. My brothers and sisters want me here.
Amen.
There's a lot of folks want me here.
Yeah. What I always tell people when they say that nobody wants you here, I say, actually, my Father owns the earth. It's his footstool. He gives us air and gravity and everything. He actually wants me here. He owns this whole place. So I'm here because of him. And that kind of deflates their whole bubble because they think they're a little world. We don't want you here. That's okay. I'm not here for you. I'm here for God.
I got my scripture verse. I find it kind of, I don't know what the word for you to use, humorous, ironic, when people say, you know, get a job, right? Exodus 5. So Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh and basically say, the God of the Hebrews told us we got to go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to God. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? Get ye unto your burdens. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let there more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. It's kind of like there's nothing new under the sun. So, you know, the wicked men who resist God's truth have always kind of been the same way. You're idle. You just need to get a job. Don't you have anything better to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same old story.
It is. Nothing new under the sun. You're right, brother. Nothing new. Yeah, it's a glorious thing to get to just stand for the truth of God and preach the gospel. And you never know what it's doing to who, what, and when, and where. That's amazing to me. Is never think that you were there did affect anybody. I promise you, the preaching of the gospel always affect somebody, and it always does what glorifies God, either draws them close or pushes them away. Yeah, it does. It does. Good stuff, brothers. I think we'll end this audio. I think that'll bless people just hearing about so the average days in the life of some street preachers and what we get to go through. So pretty awesome. Thanks.
Amen.